Adversity? Bring it. The struggle? I welcome it. Snooze on life? Never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 181. As always, I'm in the booth with a new three. We have Michelle, the birthday girl, Barone, Claudio, the voice, Valenzuela, and I am Dave, the body, Regina. Michelle Barone, celebrated as a host, influencer, marketer, and motivator, leaves a profound impact on millions. With expertise ranging from marketing to radio and TV hosting, motivational interviewing, and vocal artistry, she consistently delivers excellence in her work. Michelle is listed as one of Global Woman Magazine's top 100 entrepreneurs. Her impressive portfolio includes hosting major events such as New York Fashion Week, Super Bowl Weekend 2024, the Maxim Casino Royale, Cheer Choice Awards, Hudson River Parks and Friends Gala, Ebony Magazine honoring Busta Rhymes, and many more. Michelle has made appearances at events such as the Grammys and has been featured in LA Weekly, Page Six, US Insider, New York Weekly, AP News, Bloomberg, Market Watch, and the No Snooze Podcast.
Hey!
Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. This is so awesome. And you know what? When you just said all of that, I'm like, is that really me? Like, I can't even believe it.
It's so humbling, cool. Right?
It is. It really is. That's amazing. It's been quite a life, you know? It's been crazy. So yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I am so grateful to have you on here.
Oh,
I know
gosh.
This conversation is going to go all over the place.
Yes.
And you are fabulous for 40 years old. So let me just say that. Let's clap it up real
thank
quick.
Thank you. 40.
Yes. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
It
so
looked
much.
Like an incredible weekend.
It was. Well, Stefania, my business partner, I got to give her a shout out because she took me to the city. She's over here. Stefania, we love you.
Shout out to you.
Brought the whole team, you know, surprised me completely. I had no idea. And
wait. You said the whole team, but I was not invited.
Well, I know. Well, you're
what
part
happened?
Of it now.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's
From
go.
Now on, it's
okay,
us. Don't worry. And we got a lot to do, by the way.
Yeah, we
this
do.
Is going to lead to a lot of different things. But yeah, she took the whole team down to the city, and we celebrated. We went to the Edge. I had no idea where I was, even online, until I got out there, and I was like, did you know I was not a thrill seeker? I'm scared, but it was amazing for Instagram.
Awesome. No, it looked incredible. Well-deserved.
Thank you.
You do a lot. We'll go all over the place, but I would be remiss if I did not start with the beginning.
Sure.
Right? So take us, and this is a challenge, to really be able to go back now 30, 40 years of your life and to start from really how it all began, right? I know that you are the youngest of six siblings, right? I did my research.
Yes, you like that?
And parents, your parents were immigrants?
Yeah, so I'm actually the youngest of five.
Okay.
There's six of us. So six of us, but I'm the youngest of five. I'm the youngest of six, but I have five siblings. So
yes, there you go.
Now we're both confused.
Okay,
but yes, I have five brothers and sisters, and there's four girls and two boys in my family. And it was an amazing experience. I think starting out as the youngest, I was always babied. And I know that's crazy. But my oldest brother is 22 years older. And the closest to me is 10 years older.
Gotcha.
So they always, you know, cared for me. We're like, oh, Michelle, you're the best. And like, if I was doing anything, it was the best thing that ever happened.
I love that.
So it really gave me my confidence. And from a young age, I had confidence to just conquer the world. And I was like, well, I don't care who likes me. My family loves me. And that's it. Right. And just like truly like no like regrets or no like my family always just had my back no matter what. It was a really great support system for me. If I ever had any issues, my sisters were there. Like, you know, we're super tight. We don't hang out every day because we're different ages and our kids are different ages and we're at different, total different places in life. But they're just a big support system and they've been through so much. So I always go to them and say, hey, what did you do when your kid wasn't sleeping all night? Or what did you do in work when like your boss was treating you not right? Mm-hmm. What do you do? And they've all been through it. So I've just always had that support to guide me the right way. And I think that's helped a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So your parents were extremely hard workers.
My parents were hard workers. They were my mother was an immigrant from Italy, from Sicily. We went back to her hometown. And the crazy thing was, you know, we drove in with this 12-passenger van, which if you've been to Sicily or Italy, you can't fit a 12-passenger. So it's like bing, bing, bing on all the rearview mirrors. And then, and then she's, you know, all her friends are waving. And I'm like, no one has any teeth here, Mom. What the heck is going on? She's like, I love America. You know, so a very gracious, humble family. My mom came from absolutely nothing. My dad was born in Poughkeepsie, but and had like a pretty well-to-do family. He was a churchgoer. He actually studied in the seminary for 7 years, dropped out before his final vow, and met my mom in church a year later. So there was about a 9-year age gap there. And I think that also helped my mom a lot because she was new to America, didn't know anything, barely spoke English, put her in second grade to learn English. And she was 17 years old.
Wow.
And she was like, well, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, I don't know what happened with the school system back then, but she that all happened. And then they got married, had 6 kids. And it was really an interesting relationship they had. My father like admired my mom, which was huge. I always love that like whole story when a man loves a woman. Mm-hmm. Right. My husband treats me like that, and he's a great guy. And like, I think, you know, that song and that story just always rings to me because when a man loves a woman, I just feel like that's like the greatest love. You know what I mean? It's awesome. And the respect is really fine in a relationship. And when you can see your kids and show them that, it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think from your upbringing with your father, looking back now, is your husband like your dad?
He's similar. My dad didn't really like guys around when I was young.
I don't blame him.
You know, I was a little boy crazy in my
days. I have a 3.5-year-old girl.
So you know.
I'm already starting. Yeah. I drop her off at daycare, and this little boy comes running. I'm like, relax there, young exactly. Elijah. Relax.
Elijah, we love you. Don't worry. Keep going, boy. Keep going. That's too funny. But, you know, he liked my husband. And it's funny because my father died when I was 18. He lost both his legs. He was a double amputee from diabetes. Wow. And that taught me a lot too. So from age 5, he lost one leg and then both legs by the time I was 11.
Wow.
And, you know, growing up in high school and like every other kids at sports, I was a cheerleader, captain, everything, and always a star in the play and stuff. And, you know, he couldn't ever come. And I never had his support, but my family would always be there because he just was ill. Mm-hmm. But my siblings had the best of him because he was younger when he was dad. But when he was my dad, it was tougher. So I took care of him growing up. I think it taught me a lot. I grew up quick. When I was like 8 years old, I was like a teenager. I was friends with all the older people because I had more to deal with my father. I took care of my mom, worked nights, and I was young doing that. And again, taught me a lot of responsibility and a great appreciation for life. So once my dad passed, me and my mom were kind of both like, my mom mourned for a year and wore black. But for me, I was like, listen, I wanna live my life to the fullest. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody. I don't know anything, but I'm going to figure it out. And I want to do something awesome because I was, you know, home and all the kids got to all my friends experienced life. And I was always caring for my dad. And I felt like I just needed to like live. I don't know how to explain it. And he always told me that. He's like, look, I'm going to be on one day. I want you to just do something awesome. Mm. So I have just a great appreciation for life.
No, that's beautiful. I was reading an article to where you're talking about this, and it says, my mom says I was always a doer. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you're just born that way. My mom, my family, they worked to empower me, and that gave me the confidence like we were talking about before. I think a lot of people lack that confidence. And that, end quote. I agree with that statement. Yeah. Now, again, as a father of a 3.5-year-old, like I try every single day to instill this confidence in my daughter. I mean, the first thing she does when she wakes up in the morning, she goes, she looks in the mirror and she says, I am Callie. That's her name.
Yep.
And she says, I am kind. I am amazing. I am loving. I am independent. And I say, you're a what? And she says, a leader. So what would be a tip to somebody who struggles with confidence? Whether, you know, you weren't as fortunate as us, I'll say growing up, because I do think it's a real luxury to have that instilled in you at a very young age like that. But what would be a tip that you now know to be true in terms of confidence?
I think it's innate in a lot of ways. And I'll tell you, when I was little, I had the support of my family, but I have three kids, right? Mm-hmm. And when I had my first kid, I was like, oh my God, this kid is amazing. Like, he smiles every time I look at him. I'm like, he loves me. Like, oh my God. But then it was kind of like, I had my second kid and he wasn't amazing. He was challenging. He was colicky. He was miserable. He was terrible. And I'll tell you, I love my son. My first, second, I love all my kids equally. I love them. But he was hard. He didn't sleep for 3 years. He had noise. He had ear issues.
Wow, for 3 years.
3 years. My husband and I, he woke up a lot because I need my rest. But my husband was really good with that. I did too. Don't get me wrong. But he stepped up, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was just hard. I mean, and dealing with that was, I was like, well, it's not me. I didn't do anything different. My son, Luca, the oldest, is just a happy person. Yeah. You could flick his ear. He'd be like, ow. But then he'd be like, hi. He's just happy.
I wonder where he gets that from.
Yeah, I know. My middle one is just not happy. he's a tough personality, mm-hmm. but he's excellent at sports. He's amazing at fitness. He wants to eat healthy. He's super duper smart.
What are their ages now?
It's 8, 7, and 4.
And he wants to eat healthy.
Yeah, 7? He does. He's like, Mom, I don't really want chocolate.
Grilled chicken.
Yeah, he does. He does. He wants to eat healthy.
I got
to
meet him.
Yeah, he loves Ronaldo. And he's like, Ronaldo is on the treadmill 500 hours a day. And I'm like, okay, there's not 500 hours in a
right,
day.
But, right. But I get it.
Yeah, but again, so I think this with like them. And you know what? I see how great of a life they get to have. And that makes me happy. Like that I was able to provide them a great life. Mm-hmm. But even with my parents having nothing, they had no money. Barely had food on the table. My father was disabled. I literally like worst of the worst situation. One of them, just barely getting by. Even when I started working, I contributed to the house because I had to. And that was at a young age. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it taught me a lot. And now I take care of my mom and she's so grateful and I have a great life. And, my husband and I have just worked really hard to get here. And I think, like you said, just even reading my bio earlier, coming from what I come from, it's just amazing. It's humbling. Mm-hmm. You really can accomplish anything if you want it. And I think I'm only at the beginning.
I agree.
I
really do. So most people know you for your work on the red carpet, radio, TV. take me away from there for a minute. And I guess talk to me about how your creativity started. It's clearly at a younger age. And then walk us through the path of the career in marketing.
Sure. So,
wait, you want to go banking before marketing?
Yeah, we can start with banking. Sorry, I don't know what's in my throat here, but that's fine. I'm like,
you're good.
So anyway, when I was a teenager, my goal was always to be like in the marketing room, like creating the idea that went big. There was no virality.
Hold on,
then.
Let me stop you there. When you were a teenager, your goal was to be
like in a room, like for Pepsi to think of their next.
As a teenager.
Yeah.
So that's not normal thinking. I don't think and again, I'm around a lot of youth.
Yep.
I've never heard that. I think some teenagers have big dreams, but like this one is very like specific.
Yeah,
so,
it was specific. Okay, and it's like funny because my oldest sister went to school for marketing, didn't even know what marketing was. And she's like, oh, that's marketing. Mm-hmm. You need to go to school for that. And I was like, you can go to school to think of an idea for a product. Because at the time it wasn't, everything was always branding. But it was like, yeah, I want to make Poland Spring cool. Yeah. I was like, this is what I want to do. And I also loved singing. And I sang my whole life from 5 on. And that gave me a lot of confidence because I was always on stage with a mic, always, always. And I opened for people like Neo. Anyone who was popular from 2008 to 2012, I opened for them. And I had a great manager. He had the publishing rights for David Guetta. He worked with Black Eyed Peas. He passed from COVID, unfortunately, but terrible. So that part of my life helped me get a lot of contacts, build up my side of the entertainment and build relationships, and then just get really comfortable with stage work. But anyway, going back, I always wanted to build the brand. And when I was at a young age, I went to school for marketing, in college. Mm-hmm. And my sister was like, yeah, you're going to really love it. First 2 years, I think it was language arts and whatever. Second 2 years, I was like, oh, I really love this. And I would always come up with the coolest idea. One idea I had was, and this might not sound cool now, but it was cool then. They made us come up with like a cleaning product. And I drew out this huge sponge and it had a specific look to it. I had an artist draw it and it came to life literally on pages with a drawing.
Oh, wow.
That is cool. they were like, all right, you went crazy here. I'm like, yeah, but this is what I actually want to do. So always used to working with graphic designers, other creatives. I'm a collaborator, which is a really strong suit of mine, whether it's in entertainment. Mm-hmm. I don't see competition. I don't believe in that. If I'm here, I want you here or here.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. You know, we can all help each other rise. Mm-hmm. There's room for everybody is how I believe. And even at the bank, you know, I'd take somebody in and I'll talk to you about the bank. I was an executive there, SVP of marketing. At 30 years old, which was pretty cool. Came in as VP and then it got promoted 8 months pregnant and 8 months awesome. Into the job. And, you know, I had no banking experience. It was kind of like they were taking a chance and like, all right, I know you have a marketing degree and I love your energy. Let's see what we can do. Mm-hmm. 4 months in, I went to a marketing conference and I'll never forget this. The first question people would ask you is, what's your asset size? I was like, what the hell is that? And I was like, asset size. I was like, I don't know. I think we're like $600 million. But you weren't really cool in banking unless you were a billion. Mm. And I was like, all right, well, I need to be cool. So let's get to a billion. How do we do this, right? So I started asking everybody there, like, what'd you do to get to a billion? What changes? Is there any tax ramifications? What goes on to get you to that point? And I learned a lot about the process that weekend. And I came back and said, all right. I went to my boss, who was the president, and said, we're going to a billion. And he was like, we might want to go to a billion. But, you know, there's things that you have to do. And I've been thinking about it. 2 weeks later, came up with him with a 78-page plan called The Road to a Billion. And I handed it to his executive assistant. And she said, well, this is ambitious. I said, yeah, we're going to do it. I'm so excited. Let's make it happen. Meanwhile, we did it. We got to 1.2 billion. We hired the best of the best in the community. I worked great with the sales team and ops team and just created that collaboration and the catalyst approach to really building a brand. Mm-hmm. You know, my boss, Mike, took it on internally. We brought in another marketing agency to create core values, mission statement. A lot of those efforts were led by me and a lot of the people in place were led by me, but there was a really strong team there to really make it happen. And once we hit that, the 1.2 billion, the stock price went up. We went partially public.
Okay.
Which was awesome. And I was able to really hang my hat on, wow, we did this. It took us 6 years, but the bank was in existence for 150 years prior to that, a little more than that. It only took 6 years to really double it. So I was super proud of that accomplishment.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I knew that gave me more confidence in business because, again, I came in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed and excited, but no clue.
And now this is tangible.
And now it's tangible. And I'm like, all right, I did it. What I'm saying is real. I can make it happen. I drove an awesome team. We created great campaigns. We created a show actually called Wake Up with Rhinebeck Bank. And that was a major driver to people seeing us in the community. Other banks started to copy.
What do you mean a show
it.
For the bank?
Like this. We had a show.
Really? Okay.
For the bank. You could look it up, but don't judge me. That was while I was pregnant. I was, you know, not in my prime. I'm not there yet either. I'm getting there. But yeah, the show was called Wake Up With Rhinebeck Bank. I had a co-host, Mark Malone. I loved him. He was great. We had so much fun together. A lot of chemistry on air. And the community loved us. And I think that was a major driver. This was way before podcasting was a thing.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, what year? What year are we talking?
This was, I don't know.
So you're talking 10 years ago?
No, like 5 years.
Oh, 5 years ago? No.
But podcasting wasn't really big yet.
Oh, no.
Like it started to bubble, but it wasn't. Yeah. 7 years ago, maybe, yeah.
And you were involved in this operation too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. So cool. Stefania worked for me at the bank, and she actually left and went to work for my husband's company because they didn't have a full-time job for her, and I thought I'd be there 30 years, truly. But then COVID hit, my boys were home from school, and I couldn't get a teacher over because no one wanted to get sick.
Yep.
The school was closed. I was home with a newborn, a month old. The world shut down and I was like, I can't, you know, my team needs me. Mm-hmm. They were said, listen, stay, take a year off, come back. And they were very good to me, but I just couldn't. I started to say, well, that's not really what I want in my life. And at the end of the day, you know what? You only live once. And yes, I did a great job here, but I don't know. Are we growing? Are we not? Where's kind of the direction? And I just felt like my purpose was greater and I had to do more. And I said, now's the time. I'm on my two feet. I'm done having kids. I want to get in shape. I want to make it happen. And that was that.
Mm. Now, before we get to, I think, where you're kind of going and where you're at today, right? Talk to me about the importance of, and I'm a firm believer in teamwork and collaboration as well, and anything that you do. But there was a time where I definitely think, and before we started the podcast, there was a time where I felt that, like, you know, the one man operation is like the best operation.
Yep.
I quickly learned that that's not the way.
Right.
Now, anything that I do, I try to assemble a strong team around me. Mm-hmm. So for somebody who maybe is still in that mindset, how important is building a proper team? And do you feel that the growth is astronomical compared to just running the show by yourself?
I definitely.
In anything in life.
In anything, right. If you can build a team, whether it's free to start out for perks that you guys decide,
yeah.
or whether it's interns, or whether it's other people you collaborate with to say, let's do this together because we have A and B and they work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever that means, yes. I think strength in numbers, no doubt. It's bigger followings. It's it's bigger followings. It's bigger brands. It's the assimilation of you two. It's chemistry.
Yep.
It's everything. And it's different ideas. And I think one idea can make something so much greater. A lot of times I have like the whole idea and then I'm like, Stefania, take this. What do you think? And she comes up with something that's like, boom. And that was the thing that's going to make us
mm-hmm.
go from here to here.
Are there specific things that you look for that are either the same as you or different when you're
totally different?
Totally different.
Totally different. I like to play on people's strengths. So Stefania, mm-hmm. she's my partner in business. She's a numbers person. She's a spreadsheet gal. She's super smart. She's also a people person. Everyone I work with has to be a people person because I think that's who, my brand.
Yep.
You have to be some like right. some type of great personality. I think you can teach everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to personality, you are who you are, and it'll come through at some point. So I think personality is important for me. You can teach professionalism, but right. at the end of the day, again, if you want to build that real strong relationship,
mm-hmm.
you got to have that personality. Every other thing you can learn, right? You can learn how to podcast. You can learn how to tune a mic. You can learn how to post a post, how to say this, you can use, you know, ChatGPT to mm-hmm. create the next whatever. You could do anything else. But I think having that personality and having people with different strengths, you know, I know my strength. I'm a personality. I am great with people. I'm a closer. I am a negotiator and I know business, right? Mm-hmm. Those are my strengths. I'm not a numbers person, but I surround myself with people that are because I know how to do business, but it's not right. what I want to spend my time on. I can do it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a core strength. And there's many other things, but that's just one example.
Yeah, no, very valuable.
Yep.
All right. So let's now get into, I guess, how you built this media empire, right? Like that, I don't know another word to call it. I mean, that's kind of what it is here.
You're so awesome. You are the best. Like, you really are. I can't wait to have you on my podcast for sure. I want to know your whole story.
Yes, let's do it.
Because No Snooze is awesome. And I just talk about a freaking brand. I love this. This is so great. And just to come up with this is awesome. So I
gave you the short story yes. before about it. But like, you know, to anybody who's just tuning in for the first time, even that logo.
Yes.
That Sick. She's holding up right there, like no snooze, people associate with sleep, that the message is not like don't sleep.
Yep.
But what it is not snoozing on your life.
Right.
Right. So people look at the logo and it kind of resembles an hourglass. But really, when we were creating the logo, what it was is Z is yep. the symbol, the iconic symbol for sleep. So then we put literally a line through it and we kind of erase the two sides and it looks like an hourglass. And, you know, you get one time through life.
Yep.
And the first thing you see in the morning is that snooze button. So talk about branding. You know, that was something that was really instrumental in our, I guess, you know, building out what that logo is.
Yeah. And I love that it's clean. I love a bold line personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing my team is always like, oh, we got to do something else. Like, but I love a bold line. I think that, you know, the hourglass signifies time as well. And it's like, you know, I just love it all. I really do. It's really, really good.
Thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you.
Yep. So congrats. And I love it. Well,
thank you.
So building the media empire. So we are always on the road to doing better and bigger. And I think that we have really two parts of our house is how we describe it. One is the podcast side, which is Red, relative, mm-hmm. you know, a relevant entertaining dynamic. And what we do on Red is feature content creators, celebrities, and influencers. It's awesome. We tell stories and just kind of get into what your most viral video is. And then we do red carpets as well. So like you mentioned, Maxim, Super Bowl weekend, we're going to do a big event with National Geographic this week. A lot of celebrities are coming to that. I have a few different publicists in different cities that help me get these types of events and get out there. And get these types of features so that they say, hey, look, the top 100 women are looking for women. We got to submit. And here's how we're going to pitch, mm-hmm. you know, and those are great ways to get out there because it's great publicity, but you have to earn it. Well, it's not absolutely. Something that just comes, you know, you can have you can lead a horse to water, but they have to believe in you. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I've pitched a lot. And to get one or two or three is a blessing and an amazing. Right.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, what having to build this and the way we're doing it is through the podcast and the other way is through the agency. So I partner with Stefania on that. We offer full service marketing, social, digital, radio, TV, all of it, billboard. In the Hudson Valley region, we are expanding that a bit. And we're going to be building partnerships too. We have a few different PR agencies that we collaborate with. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do it like crisis management for PR, or say we need a really big brand deck built for a hospital or something like that, or an overnight change in signage, we bring in third parties for that. But mm-hmm. we have relationships with everybody. And I've been doing marketing for 20 years since college.
Yeah, I think it's genius. You know, you're taking some of your strengths here and now you're also pairing it with your interests,
yeah.
which I think that's a beautiful thing in terms of like life fulfillment. You know, one thing about you is like, you could just tell the energy right away.
Yeah.
And Stefania as well, you're very, both of you are just so authentic with yeah. your energy. You know, like I was like, this is Claudia. You're like, hey, Claudia, how are you? You know, like, and it's in the morning, so you don't know how people's energy is, but you know, in terms of a marketing sample, you guys are your brand. Yeah. Are you looking to elevate your brand with captivating visuals and immersive sound? Look no further than the home of the No Snooze podcast, Kai Visions Productions, your go-to destination for cutting-edge audio and video production. At Kai Visions, we don't just create content. We create experiences that leave a lasting impact. From podcasts, YouTube variety shows, sleek corporate videos, to attention-grabbing promotional campaigns, our team of experts is dedicated to turning your vision into reality. Choose Kai Visions for a production experience like no other. It's time to make your brand known. Contact us today at kaivisions@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Kai Visions. Kai Visions Productions, where audiovisual excellence meets innovation. Now, back to the epi. How did you make the transition, though, from getting out of the bank to then saying, like, you know what? Okay, this is going to be a full time thing. Was there like some financial hits that you had to take to build this? Obviously, and your husband does well, too. Yeah. I read about him and he's got 500 employees himself.
Yep.
That's no small operation there. But in terms of, you know, going from banking and having a really established career as a senior vice president, to then creating your own thing. How was that transition?
It was tough. You know, I didn't want to leave. I really did love the people there. Like I said, I thought I was going to be there 30 years. I loved the people. I loved that I had kind of the buy-in to do what I wanted to do. That's important in corporate culture mm-hmm. and not always available to yep. people. And it limits growth. And I think my mindset of that catalyst, you know, collaborative approach really helped kind of bring that out there. Mm-hmm. But it was because I had a greater purpose. I just knew it would work. I knew I could sell. I knew that because I did it before the banking job. I had a social media company and it was not great. It was okay. But I was charging, you know, a couple $100 an account when it first started.
Yep.
And I was like, no, I'm going out there and I want to charge way more than that. And now I have value, right? I have this position. I'm able to create the value mm-hmm. that people are going to see. And it's true. Like people do pay well for this kind of thing. And I knew it. And because I saw everyone's proposals that came in.
Yeah.
You know, I was the one making the decision. So I knew what the market value was. And mm-hmm. I was like, I could definitely charge this. I think my, you know, reputation's even greater than this company or this person, because people would ask me every day, can you help me with this brand? Can you sit in on this meeting and just give me some consultation? And they were like, I'll pay you whatever. I'm like, I don't want to be paid. I just want to help. You're mm-hmm. my friend. But now it's like, all right, yeah, let's sit down and, yep. and I get paid to do that. And it's just a different, I knew I could make the money in the marketing side. The podcast side is always interesting, right? How do you finance it? How do you make it viable? Mm-hmm. And that's why I created both. And when me and Stefania went into this, we were like, this doesn't make sense. Like, it just doesn't. Like, people aren't going to get it. Like, what are you doing? Are you doing a podcast? Or are you doing marketing? And I said, you know what? I had a position at a bank and I had a show. If I can do that,
right.
we can do this.
Yeah.
It makes more sense than that. And honestly, I'm known for both. I'm known as a personality on air on iHeart for 18 years. I was with them prior to iHeart. It was Clear Channel, and I was a weekend jock. So I was always friends with those folks. And I would come in, and they would prank me with all these crazy things. One guy, Fuzzy, and I'm getting you back now, Fuzzy. But he's like, we're going to play this game where we like clothespin your face. And we do every time. And so I'm sitting on camera. This was before social was even big. It was like Facebook was big. I have 60 clothespins on my face. I'm like 18 years old. And I'm like, I'm like, what would for the price of fame, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it was all those growing pains and building those relationships with the radio stations and the media people. And now doing that on a larger scale with Getty Images and Shutterstock and working with the larger companies. And again, the bank and the community in the Hudson Valley as a tester gave me the confidence to go out and be a big girl in the real world and now do this on a much higher level.
Yeah. And I'm not just pumping you up here. Incredible stuff.
Thank you.
Really.
Thank you so much.
But now, since you mentioned it, I want to hear how you got into, like, would you just walk into the radio station? You're like, hey, I want to be a weekend jock here. Like, how did that go down?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Like, where did that start? So you were doing this still while you were a senior VP of the bank. You were then still being a jock.
So when I was young, I sang. So I started out singing from, like, you know, I think I recorded 500 songs in 2.5 years and played in over 500 venues. So I'm going to go big or go home type of gal. And again, I had nothing when I was young. But I did have a great personality and I was always happy and people were drawn to that. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh my God, you're just so sweet. Yeah, like, this isn't real, right? I'm like, no, it's me. And it's 12 p.m. and I'm like, hey. And then it's 8 a.m. and I'm like, hey, you know, that's just who I am. And I think once the community got to know me, they were like, oh God, we got to bring you in on this. It wasn't even the idea. It was just, we need you there because we like you. And we want your support and we want your idea. And, you know, why wouldn't we want you? Mm-hmm. Became kind of like that, right? I started to sing all over the place in the local community, just met an owner. And the way I got in was I packed one house once. I have a big family, remember? So I brought in everybody. And I got 800 people to the Chance, which is now not a venue. It's becoming something else. But it was
650 family members.
650 and 70, you know, 670. A lot of them. My cousin was security. You know, we made it a big deal. And I tore the house down that night. The community got to talking. One bar owner was like, oh, I need her because she packed the house. They didn't really care about my music. They cared that I could make them money.
Yeah, of course.
And I knew that. And I was like, whatever, I'll make you money. Facebook, I had this Facebook event link. I'll never forget in college, I hated Facebook when I first saw it. I was like, hot or not? Like, this is weird. And then I was like, well, maybe we could, you know, monetize this somehow. My brain's always thinking that way. And my friend said, I just packed an event off a Facebook code. And if you type it into your event link, you can literally invite 100,000 people at once. And I was like, give me that code. Let's do it. You can't do it anymore.
Yep.
But when I was younger, I plugged that in and I packed the Chance. I packed another venue. And I just kept doing this. And so I made really good money. I started to actually earn and I stashed cash. I mean, on New Year's Eve, I made like $8,000.
Wow.
And I was a kid, you know, I was 19 years old, 20 years old, just stacking cash. And I was like, all right, I have some money saved. I want to buy a house. And I started my relationship off, no college debt, you know, no debt at all. I just, from those years of grinding, I think set me up for now. Mm-hmm. It took me to this point. Again, all my friends, I went to an affluent high school. Not everyone was affluent, but most kids. There was kind of two neighborhoods.
Yep.
One was affluent. One wasn't as affluent. I was in the not as affluent neighborhood, but I was accepted amongst everybody. It was small and we got along well. But I think that high school gave me the confidence because it was small and the environment, and because I could be a leader among a smaller group and I knew what it felt like. And once you feel that, you can do it anywhere, you know.
But how'd you walk into
the... I know, sorry.
the radio station? iHeart.
So once I got out in the community, I started to meet everybody. I started to meet all the local leaders. And one of the leaders was from iHeart. One of them was a gentleman, Chris Marino, who has been my friend. Chris, I love you so much. He's been my friend forever. While I was in college, I met Rob Vanderbeck, who's there at iHeart too. And Rob is a really good friend of mine. He taught a class, and for one day he came and guest taught a class and he hired me a week later, to be a salesperson at Clear Channel. And that, or no, I'm sorry. It's now Town Square, but it was a different station other than iHeart.
Okay.
And I wanted to go to Europe for the summer, so I declined the job, and I thought he would never talk to me again. So I went to Europe for a month and a half, and we just became friends over time. He would see me at this event, I would see him, and at that time, this one gentleman, Anthony Varano, and Chris Marino both wanted me to have like a nightly show or a mm-hmm. weekend show, just because I was out there and I expressed interest, and we got to talking, you know, like yep, normal. Yep. And I didn't know which station to choose. And it was a tough moment because I was like, I really love both of them. How do I choose? But I felt more aligned with the pop side of things. And I knew that that was more my brand. So I went with Clear Channel, which then became iHeart, which was a very lucky move because iHeart now is iHeart.
Right.
And that gave me the platform I have today.
Wow.
So it was I didn't know it was going to be such an iconic decision, but it certainly was.
Relationships, though, is the answer.
It is. And I'm still right. friends with all of them. We still, in our marketing agency, do media buys with every station.
Wow.
So, you know, friends with everybody. And but there's a very, for me, a divide with iHeart because they've had my back for a long time.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been with them?
A long time. I've worked with them in different capacities for about 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Talk to me about this recent global entrepreneur recognition. Top 100 women. Global. Global. We're not talking local. We're talking global here. You're an iconic figure.
You're too much.
Michelle Global Barone, if you will.
You're too much, Dave. Come on. Stop that. So, yeah, I mean, I was presented the opportunity. You know, a couple people came up to actually me and Stefania. Stefania won, too.
Congratulations.
And, yes, which is very exciting. And they said, you know, you guys have something here. You're onto something. You're doing something different. We're kind of like the GC of marketing, if you will. If you're building a house, you hire a GC to yep. manage someone coming in and doing the stairs and the bathroom and the plumbing and this and that. We're like that of marketing. So we do some services in-house, but we have some partners outside. We also work with companies if they have a person they work with already. We're not aligned. We don't get paid from our partners. Mm-hmm. So, which is very non-traditional. A lot of times, if you're an agency, you get paid from radio, you get paid from your PR. Yep. We don't do that. We want non-bias. We get paid a healthy, you know, annual monthly fee. And that fee pays for us. And then we advise you based on your situation. And it looks different every time. So when they heard this story, this agency, they were like, oh, wow, this is cool. It's different. It's groundbreaking. We like that you're collaborative among the industry because a lot of times it's competitive and no, yeah. I'm not giving this work. And sometimes the agency will take the work on and it won't be good because it's not really what they do. When if they brought in that partner, they would have had a home run and everyone could make money, right? So it's a smarter way to do it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And they said, this is really onto something. And I said, well, listen, I can't do it without my partner. We have to do this together. This is something that, you know, and you know, the PR person approached me and her, and we said, let's do this. So we both submitted. We had no idea if we would win. I right. know thousands mm-hmm. of people, you know,
of course. Won.
We are marketers, so we know how to position ourselves. But again, we submit to a lot.
Yep.
So I didn't know if this one was going to win, but we did it and popped some champagne afterwards because it was awesome. An awesome one.
It really is. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you struggle at all with recognition or no? I do.
You do?
I do. I like the limelight. Don't get it wrong.
But we all do.
You know, and I won't ever deny that.
Right.
But I do, and I talk about this consistently, and I'm open about it because I want to get better with
right,
it.
Right, right.
I don't really receive recognition well. I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, yeah. like I'm not very graceful in that moment. Do you struggle with that or no?
I feel that too. I think that's natural. I think it's normal. I think if you receive it too well, it's cocky and weird. I do agree with that. I think for me, I don't know. I don't live in the moment of the receiving. I'm like, what's the next thing?
Yep.
I'm just like, okay, great. We had an LA Weekly this week. What's going on tomorrow? Yep. And then last week, I remember the coolest thing was we had a day where I had like a viral video. We got 66,000 likes on a video.
Wow.
Then we had the global. Then we had like a story that was a major PR in a major magazine. And then the next day we had another viral video and it was like 7 days of consistent work. And I'm like, this is the aha. Now it's paying off. Mm-hmm. And now I want, you know, what are we doing next week? Like, I know these things are all big and some of these things most people will never have. But I just feel like I know I can do this every day. And I think creating these moments of the bigger you think, the bigger you get. That's just how it is. But it's not even the recognition that does it for me, it's like, what can I now do to help you? Mm-hmm. And if I can get you someone on your show that's going to blow your show up, I'm like, that's my boy.
Yep.
And you're going to be like, that's Michelle. Mm-hmm. And now we have this thing that's like this. And it's the alliances I create that are just, I have so many friends that would do anything for me because I've changed their lives and I've helped them so much. And that's truly what makes me tick. But I need all of this to do that.
Right, right. And as you're talking to, and I know we mentioned her name off air,
yeah,
we'd be remiss not to mention Stephanie Madonia.
Oh, love Stephanie. We love you.
She's one of my favorite people on the planet. And it's really been just over the course of the past, you know, 8 months where we've really gotten to know one another. But you remind me a lot of her, you know, and she yes. reminds me a lot of you, yep. like your energy, the authenticity, yep. the genuineness, right? See, do you see what I'm talking yeah. about? For sure.
She's awesome.
She is.
Health coach, advocate.
Yes.
And, you know, she's got an amazing property that you held an event at, right?
Yes. Oh, my yeah. God. I mean, that event, the Action Cultivates Excellence
yes.
Summit that we did for 20 men. Does not happen without Steph Madonia.
Absolutely.
And not only her connection to the property, mm-hmm. but what she poured in to that event for all of these men. I mean, she was doing every job from, you know, the high level work behind the scenes yep. to also like, you know, the dishes and cleaning and this and that. What do you say? What? Oh, and she actually stepped in for CV too. And she was shooting, Joe Girardi too, you know, with the camera, but she was so invested into what he was saying. There was definitely times where I'm sure she lost, she lost the shot, but what an incredible woman.
She is.
You struggle with limiting beliefs at all? So somebody of your stature, I'll say, and not physical stature, but you know, right. where you're at in your life right now, it might be hard to, I guess, look from the outside in to say, wow, does this woman struggle with anything? You know, are there things in your life that you struggle with and I guess would be like a limiting belief of yours?
Oh God, so many. Are you kidding? I'm a woman. Of course we do. We struggle with everything. I mean, I'm saying all these great things, but behind the scenes, I'm like, you know, I'm always like, I struggle with weight. That is my biggest struggle in life. And I never talk about it. And I should, because a lot of people do. I struggle with weight. I struggle with diet and exercise. Again, my father was a W amputee, diabetes.
Right.
I'm addicted to sugar. There's no doubt. And I try to limit it. I go on these diets where I'm like meal prepping and drinking all this water and doing great for 3 months, and then I'm back to this eating sugar at night crap. You know, that's my struggle. I know.
Go ahead.
And maybe you can help me. But I've really done everything, and I know it's like a thing in my brain that I just, you know, I feel like I get by. Like, I know I'm beautiful. I know I have it all. But I feel like if I could just lose 40 pounds, I'd be literally like, I have confidence and I don't need to lose the weight. And I think that's the problem. If I didn't have the confidence, then I would want to lose the weight. Mm. But because I am confident, it's like, eat the Starburst. Give it to me, you know?
Yep, yep.
And it's the instant gratification. It's like, I work so hard in so many other ways. Like, I just want to eat what I want to eat. And I hate that I'm that way, but it's true, you know?
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. But I guess my question now, before I hold you accountable.
That's what I really need.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Will be, what do you think the difference is between building this empire of yours in business versus you conquering this goal of whether it's 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds?
The difference is I don't have the capacity to do everything. I know the consistency in business is the same as consistency in dieting. I say it every day in my marketing meetings. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's like dieting. If you eat the cake, you're not going to get the result. If you don't post today, you're not getting the result. It's mm-hmm. the same thing. I know it. I teach it. I preach it. It's just.
It's the mental capacity you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That I can actually resonate and let you have that, because I thought you were going to say, like, I just don't have the ability to do it.
No.
Because you absolutely do. The decisions that you make in business are the same decisions that you make on a personal level in terms yep. of, you know, I always strive for what I call personal habitual excellence,
yep.
right? Like, I will never be perfect by any means, but I struggled with weight for a really long time on the opposite spectrum. I was 153 pounds. I'm 235 pounds now. Diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 16 years old, battled that, really had to, you know, learn what foods would cause triggers, and you know, I have a lot of ulcers and stuff like that.
It's so challenging.
Yeah. So in high school, you know, I walked around with toilet paper in my backpack because it was so bad. For months, I was on a diet of Pedialyte and chicken broth while we were trying to diagnose this. So I completely understand it. But, you know, your ability to be the way you are in business is the same exact ability that you have to turn this corner. You should utilize your father as motivation and fuel. Because my grandfather, too, also struggled and died from diabetes. So I can really relate to that. But the same way that you would, you said your goal is 40 pounds, right?
Yeah.
So you take 40 pounds and you take a goal of like being on a billboard in Times Square, right? You don't just go for the billboard, right? You go for the local, then you go for like the state level recognition, then you like keep climbing your way up. It's the same exact thing. What we do is we compartmentalize our success. So you've done that now, right?
Yeah.
You've done it in business, and I'm going on a tangent,
no,
baby.
No, tell me.
You've done it in business, but you're not holding yourself accountable the same way you do in business because it's non-negotiable for you, right? It's non-negotiable in business for you to be this success, but you haven't conquered the confidence in your personal self-worth, right? Yeah. And why is that? Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's just, this is going to sound really bad, but it's true. It's real. I think you can buy a billboard and I can make the money to buy it and it doesn't affect me. Mm-hmm. Whereas I want what I want. I want to eat. Yeah. I like food.
But you can.
I know, but I don't want to think about it.
I know what it is. Really, I do. And you haven't attached the non-negotiable to it. Because the reality is, if a doctor came to you tomorrow, knock on wood, this doesn't happen to anybody, but was like, listen, you know, you have stage 4, the worst cancer in the world. You have 6 months to live. Or you can change your life immediately, right now.
I know.
You would do that in the blink of an eye. And we have to be careful, too, as just Americans in general, like what we're consuming. So we always talk about the compound effect in terms of success, which nobody knows better than you. But now, if you just gain 3 pounds a year, that's not a lot, right? 3 pounds is 3 pounds in 1 year is not a lot, right? Over the course of 10 years, that's 30 pounds. So we have to start thinking on that same level because you already do it in business.
Yeah.
It's the next decision. Like when you guys leave here, you guys need to be conscious of where you're going if this is your goal. But you need to attach a reward to this. And now reward for you is Michelle as a mother being around for your spouse, long-term game, right? The same way that you created this financial stability and freedom for your family is the same way that you have to be there in your mind and health for your family.
I know. And I think about this, it's like it's the craziest thing. I feel like I can conquer anything in the entertainment world. I think I can get to any red carpet. Yep. I could become the Mario Lopez, Ryan Seacrest, is what my 100%. Goal is. I can interview anyone on the planet and make them feel comfortable. All those things, I'm like in the bag, in my sleep, let's go. But it's more of, you know, I don't know. It's something that you have to do. It's almost like you said, do you delegate? I delegate everything. Mm-hmm. This is the one thing I don't delegate and I have to figure it out. And you know what? It's been a yo-yo. There's some times I'm really thin and then I'm like, oh, I'll just have a piece of chocolate. And then that chocolate leads to a candy bar. Then it leads to 5 candy bars. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. And I'm not saying I eat like that, but
no, 100%.
You know, but like, if I like my guilty pleasures are chocolate and candy, and that's what I like. I'd rather have that than food any day of the week.
Of course. But also now you need to say, okay, you know what? I can do this twice a week.
Yeah.
And you need to look forward to that reward. Okay. You said in business, one of your greatest strengths is building a team.
It is.
Okay. Don't change. If you want this goal, you need to have an accountability partner and start building a team.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
I am.
Let's do
absolutely.
It. Are you going to help me through my transformation?
Yes, I really can. Yes, I absolutely can.
All right.
If that's something you want to do. But like, again, this is
a
lesson.
You don't want that? Why? Is he tough?
No, it's not. First of all, and I hope you do it because then you can look at him and be like, I told you so.
We're going to do it together.
He's been doing
me
this
and you.
Up and down for, you know. Up and down for years. You wanted to? Let's go.
We got our Stefania's a size 2. She's like, I feel bad today. I'm like, where? In your elbow?
In your elbow?
In your elbow?
You got a little extra something in the elbow today? That's hilarious. But again, I think we often miss this point. Like, you have your strengths in business. Apply that same strength now to your personal health journey. You can't do it alone, right?
It's so like
now, if
help.
You had a group chat, if you had a group chat with people who were focused on the same goal and you had an accountability partner, now you're starting to build a team. Now, if you have a nutritionist and a health, you know, a health coach or a trainer, Steph Madonia would literally walk right into this.
I know.
You know what I mean? So again, why are you getting so lost? It's the same thing.
I know.
But oftentimes we just think like, oh my God, this is a completely different thing in my life. It's really not. It's the same thing. All right, that's enough. I'm done beating
No,
up.
But it's true. I know. You're 100% right. And I know this. And like when I'm on it, I'm like, oh, this is a breeze.
Yep.
But when I'm not, I'm like so down on myself.
Yep.
But I'm like, who cares? You know what? I'm going to put my feature up here and it satisfies the thing that makes me confident.
Right. But I also think that this normalizes you a little bit.
It does.
You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people, when they look at individuals with that status, you know, it's like, well, what? Oh, they can't struggle. And the reality is that it is. I mean, the past 2 years, you know, I watched my relationship, you know, I was married very yeah. young, like I told you off air, at the age of 24, was with that woman from 19 years old to the age of 32. So the past 2 years have been really rough, you know, and people see this, but they don't really know what goes on in my head. And I've had to really overcome a lot of mental challenges and barriers in my life.
I commend you so much, because going through a divorce is the single-handedly most challenging thing I have ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. My sisters have gone through it, my brother, and it takes so much time to really go through that, because there's so many memories, so much regret, so much remorse, and so much why. And I think that at the end of it, from what I see on the outside, I haven't been through it myself, but what I see on the outside is that, you know what? And what you said when I walked in here earlier was the best. You were like, look, you know what? I had to do it because of things that happened and it was over with. Like, I just had to bury that, right? Good. I'm glad you did. Now you have a great relationship and now you can be the person you were meant to be.
Right.
And you know what? Sometimes, unfortunately, the person that was riding with you doesn't get to experience that, but that's your growth and you can't regret that. None of that, you know, like, to me, it's all about just growing as a person and becoming that, being that butterfly. And I know that's corny, but it's true, you know?
Very true. But a lot of people, you know, they just don't, because again, Instagram is
one thing,
you know, you see, you know, and you see all this stuff, but like, you know, there was a critical moment in my life, the night that we actually agreed to, you know, part ways. Mm-hmm. That I remember that night being like, wow, like, this is the moment that I think could break me. And I never really felt that way because, you know, and I happen to be very fortunate that as a man, I know a lot of men who can't cook for themselves, who don't clean for themselves. Right. Wifey does everything. My relationship was pretty balanced. Mm-hmm. And I really attribute that to my father growing up. You know, I lived with him from the age of 14 on.
Military?
No.
Okay.
What, me in the military?
Or your father?
No. But my grandfather, who he was a Navy guy.
And he learned from him. So.
Yep. Okay. So like, you know, I had to make my own bed and like I had to do my own laundry because dad was working three jobs and he just couldn't do it. I had to learn how to cook for myself. Some nights it'd be peanut butter and jelly. So I always carried that into, you know, any relationship I was ever in. So I never relied on anybody. You know, I never needed anybody. You have to want the person. Whereas a lot of men in my life that I see, I'm like, yo, if your wife left you, you'd be out on the street, literally.
Right.
You would turn into a mental disaster. So it was that moment that I'm like, it's unfortunate, but I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm good. It's not, you know, nobody ever gets married to get a divorce.
Right.
And again, luckily, I'm blessed. We have a great, healthy co-parenting relationship. She's doing her thing. I'm in a very healthy relationship now. So it's much better. But this is, again, almost 2 years removed from the situation. But I mentioned that because was there ever a moment that was a critical moment in my life where I was just like, wow, my life can go left here. Was there ever a moment in your life that you were like, I don't know if I could do this anymore?
Oh, there's been a lot of those moments. My God, life is challenging. I think the day my dad died was one of them. I just remember like being 18 and like, how come I had to struggle my whole life? And then it ends in this. I have no money. I have nothing. I don't have my dad. I have literally nothing. I know nobody. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do here? My mom just barely speaks English. She speaks English, but she's got an accent. She's not from here. So she loves me unconditionally and she's been my rock and she's my life, but she can't really help me go beyond this point. She raised me and I'm here now. What the heck do I do? That was a defining moment for sure. And I think again, just fueling that positivity, but it was innate. It wasn't positivity that was, like you said, the authenticity is real. Mm-hmm. It's just innately who I am. So that's what I knew and that's what I did. And I utilized that unknowingly to build myself.
Right.
Right. And then when I realized it was a superpower, and people were drawn to it, I was like, oh, I'm going to do it some more. But I never had to turn it on. It was real. Mm-hmm. I think that helped me a lot. And I think that was God's plan, truly, because it's just who I am. I think when I graduated college was another defining moment. I was like, what am I doing with this? I don't know where to go, what to do again. I went to Iona my first year, then started dating my husband. And I said, well, I don't want to you know, I don't want to go back to school. I want to go to Marist. So I went to Marist for the remainder of the time. And you know, after college, I was like, I don't know where to go, what to do. I didn't know where to apply. It's such a confusing time of life. I was sick to my stomach for like a year and I was bartending. I was like, you know, I'm going to go to Europe for 2 months. So I did. And I thought a lot about what I wanted. And I always remembered wanting to do this, right? The brand. And I was like, well, I don't know anyone that can get me in anywhere, but I'm going to start. You know, I know the nightclub owners. They all love me because I can sing and pack the house. Maybe I'll start working on their stuff. So I really started with them, like rebranding their businesses and stuff like that and getting experience. And then I met the bank. That was one of my clients through their golf course, which led me to the bank job. They just saw what I did there and liked me. But, you know, the likability has always helped. And I think the defining moments, you know, come over time. I think, I couldn't get pregnant when I first got married. That was challenging. That was really hard. I just thought, like, I've dealt with all this with my dad. That was my stone. And now I don't have anything else that's ever going to happen in life. I'm just going to go on and be happy every day. Yeah. And that was not true. You know, it was after college. Then it was, I really wanted to get married. And my husband was like, well, I don't know if I'm ready. And I'm like, well, we've been together 6 years. Am I doing this or not? Because if not, I'm out. And he was like, no, I want to marry you. You just got to give me time. And I literally, I was like, all right, I'll give you a couple years. And, you know, December 1st was when we started dating and it was 2 years later. And I was like, what's going on here? And he's like, Michelle, you got to give me time. I said, I gave you your time. He's like, do you trust me? I'm like, yes. So a week goes by, 2 weeks. I'm like, hello. He's like, come on, you know? And then that third week he came through. But the night before we were in such a big fight, he's like, I don't even want to do this anymore. And I'm like, come on. I was like, are you kidding? He's like, well, you're pressuring me. I was like, it's been 8 years. Like, I gave you my life.
It's been 8 years.
I know. So he finally did. But these things, like, build you up and build your character and give you experience, right? They make you mature. They make you understand the value of things. Mm-hmm. Having those 2 years of waiting really made me appreciate him.
Right.
And say, God, I can't even imagine. I was suffocating without him. Like, and, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was literally just trying to stack cash so we would be good forever.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm taking it like, you don't love me. And he's like, I love you. I'm killing myself
just
for you.
Do it the right way.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. And I think he must have had to hire a GC to put that building on your finger over there.
Well,
that thing is astronomical.
This was my 10-year anniversary
gift.
Okay,
good. There
so,
you go.
You know, it wasn't where we started.
God bless.
Thank you. It wasn't where we started, but, you know, we have built an amazing life together. And truthfully, he has taken on a lot. He just recently sold his 500 person business, merged with another company. So it's
awesome.
Now a smaller percentage share in a 6,000 employee company.
Wow.
And he's, you know, has a few other companies and he's just worked hard. I mean, this guy trades all day with huge screens behind him, then does business all day. He's got the weight of the world on him. He's got me, who's like, we got to hit this goal.
You
we
got to
hit
easy.
That goal.
You
we got to hit that
you
goal.
You cannot be easy.
I'm like, all right, did we hit this goal yet? Yeah. He's like, you told me about it 36 hours ago. I'm like, we didn't do it yet.
We didn't do it yet. talk to me about him a little bit in terms of the relationship and how instrumental he's been to your success.
Oh my God, that's a really... that's so multifaceted with him. He is my rock. He is my ride or die. He's the type of guy to be like, all right, you want to go to the Grammys? Let's figure it out, you know? And he's like, all right, you know, he's a very methodical thinker. He is CFO type. He's a numbers guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, does it make sense? Does it not? You know, if it makes sense, he'll spend $1 million on something.
Yep.
If it doesn't, he's not doing it. Doesn't matter what the perceived value
is.
He knows how to make a penny into a dime and a dime into, you know, 25 cents and 25 cents into $100. He's just really good with numbers. Always has been. He's been a flipper since he was a kid. So how I was thinking about this stuff and marketing, he was thinking about, you know, taking his four-wheeler, putting a new engine in it and selling it for $1,000 more.
Mm.
He's just his mindset. He never drank, did drugs. Neither did I. I was in the clubs always, but we were just always clean.
You never drank?
Never. I'm
really?
Not a drinker.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm not a drinker. I like to drink. I can't handle it.
Yep. I'm
physically.
72 days in now that I haven't drank.
Good job.
Right?
Listen, I don't get me wrong. On my birthday, I will have a drink. I had a mimosa.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve, I will have a drink. And I've been drunk before,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Key times in my life. In college, of course, I had
right.
drinks. But I was never like, I need to go out and have a drink or party, you know?
I wish.
I smoked cigarettes when I was young, but I was still in the scene. Yep. Remember, I was
which
the club,
is even more incredible, though.
I was the club promoter. So I was the one getting everybody dancing out there and making everyone have fun, but I didn't need to drink to have fun.
No,
it was
that's awesome.
It's authentic. It's like you can commend me for it, but it's not awesome because it wasn't my battle. My battle is my weight. And that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not having a drink isn't a commending.
It's not hard for
you. I don't want it.
Right. But when you see it, like, you know, that's crazy to hear because, well, I guess weight does the same thing because it ruins people's lives.
The same way
addiction, you know, my mom was addicted to drugs and alcohol for the first 28 years of my life. 5+ years sober.
Amazing.
Literally shout her out every episode.
Mom. Good job, Mom. Keep it going, baby.
Right.
But that's something to commend.
Oh, absolutely.
Me not having a drink isn't. It's not my battle.
Right. No. That's a very good point, though.
It's not my battle. Like, my weight's my battle. And if I could kick that, that's like kicking, for me, would be the equivalent.
We're going to do that.
We're going to do it.
This episode is brought to you by Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening. Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening is an experienced teeth whitening salon where you can get up to 7 shades lighter with just a 60 or 90 minute session in a professional and relaxing setting. They offer the most superior product coupled with the highest quality of customer service available to get you instant results. Whether you have an important event to attend, such as a wedding, birthday, anniversary, interview, or you are just unhappy with the color of your teeth, this LED light technology helps whiten your teeth fast and easy. At Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening, they understand how important your smile is to you. And speaking from personal experience, you'll be guided by highly efficient staff in a relaxing environment to reach your desired shade. Let them know you're a friend of Dave's from the No Snooze podcast and connect with them at HudsonValleyTeethWhitening.com or on Instagram at HV Teeth Whitening. Now, back to the epi. You do so much. And I now need to hear, I guess, some parenting hacks for myself, selfishly.
I'm going to ask you.
talk to me about Michelle Mom a little bit. You know, we heard, Michelle, the business mogul, and a little bit about you as a wife. But talk to me about Mom and what it means to you. And I guess just the whole concept of family and really being able to pour into 3 young beautiful children.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Oh my God. My kids are my life. First and foremost, they come first. All this is wonderful, but I would throw it in the garbage if they needed me or needed something. If an event calls and my kids come first, if they need me, I'm there. Everyone I work with knows that. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I am, whatever. Mm-hmm. If I have to fly home, I've done it. I've been at conferences, been at events, and I'm like, sorry, can't make it. My kids come first. They are amazing, my kids. I have one that's super happy, one that's a little crazy, but an amazing athlete, and one that's like mellow and keeps the boys together. She's like, boys, stop this.
You know? It's boy, girl.
Yeah, awesome. I got my girl. And I think me, the mom, is, you know, just as consistent as I can be. In business, it's a lot to juggle. You know, to be truthful, it's a lot to juggle, but I try to work from 8 to 5 and I try to be home at 5. I never really miss a game unless I absolutely have to. And when I do, I hate doing it, you know. I authentically want to be there for them and I'm building them into the best humans I can be, but they are who they are. And I just support their growth through whatever it is they want to do. You know, my one son loves soccer, so we push him to do that and he goes to training and he loves it. And my other son doesn't. And in the beginning, because he was my first, I was like, oh, no, we got to do it. You know, all my friends were doing it. We got to go to soccer. And he was just like, Mom, I've never scored a goal in my life. I hate this. I'm like, it's done. We'll finish the season, you know, maintain our commitment and be done. He still hasn't really found his thing yet. But I know he loves gaming. I know he loves other kids. And he's the mayor of his school. Everyone loves it. He's me. He's like the little me. He's a mini me. And everybody, we're like two of a kind. When I MC his bingo night, he comes up with me. So, you know, he's got my thing and he doesn't need to play sports. If he doesn't want to, let him be happy doing this or finding his own thing, whatever that may be. My daughter, she's just like wants to live and be a princess right now. She's 4. So she's living through that.
All right. Let's talk about that age. So I just had this. It was really heartbreaking to me, honestly. So my daughter, she's 3.5. She'll be 4 June 16th. Well, I guess she's older than 3.5. She'll be 4.
Yeah.
Right. So for the first time, and she's a good girl. She listens. I mean, but she's a little rambunctious. But she's very witty.
Come meet my boys, and then we'll see.
That's true. That's I do think boy energy is completely different. My godson Mason, he's on another level. I have him for a couple hours, and I'm like, whoa, I can't even believe it.
That's my kids.
So Callie, though, my daughter, I go to school, and I got her first bad report.
What'd she do?
And I'm like, what is it? Well, she's talking, her and her friend Amelia are, not listening, but it's been a little consistent. And my point in bringing this up is I feel like the innocence is going to quickly begin to shift away.
Yeah.
Right. They're a product of you and, what you pour into them, what the family pours in. But then society comes around and now she's learning behaviors from others. The dynamic between children, they're like, oh, if you do that, then I could do this. And it kind of gives the okay. Did you ever struggle with this in terms of seeing your innocent babies now turn into every other child in the world? And you're like, oh, God, now I got to, give you some, what is it? I don't want to whoop that ass. But in reality, I'm like, Callie, you're a leader. You're not supposed to be acting like this. So did you struggle with that?
Dave. Just come over on a morning. My kids are crazy. All right. They are challenging. One of them has ADHD. The other one I think does too, but is undiagnosed because he's still little. So there's that challenge. But yeah, of course, outside challenges take a place in raising them. And you're like, where did you learn that? Why did you? That's not me. That's not us. We don't do that. But you teach them along the way and they're going to make mistakes. My husband has a really great catchphrase. He's like, I'm going to let them live and do their thing, but I'm going to catch them if they fall. And it's a really great way to do it because they need to learn and be independent and go out there to the world and make their own choices and fight their own battles. My son got in a fight the other day with his best friend from 3 years old. From pre-K three. And the kid was like, oh, you have an IEP, ha ha, kind of thing. And Luca was like, so sad. He's like, Mom, why is he like that? This is my friend, And I was like, talk to him about it. I was like, go in, call him right now and call him on your iPad like you do every night. And he did. He didn't answer. He's like, Mom, he's not answering. I said, tomorrow morning when you get there, you call him. He goes, no, Mom, call his mom. I said, nope, you're going to fight this battle. I said, because guess what? The next kid that says it, you're going to fight that battle too. Mm-hmm. So he went in, he said it. And he's like, I felt bad about this. You hurt my feelings. And the kid was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Luca. And I said, see, was that hard? I said, but if you didn't address it, it would have happened today. It would have happened tomorrow. And it would happen the next day. I said, it's all about communication. And he learned. He goes, all right. Now he knows how to handle it. And he's confident. And I told him, you never use your hands. You teach them those things that are important and learn how to communicate through it. Because if they learn that now, they're going to be good for when they're teens. Right. It's always going to happen when they feel peer pressure. To do their first drug because it's happening. And they're going to take another one and another one. And it's like, look, I'm good, bro. And they have to have the confidence to say no if they feel it. They may or may not. You never know. More likely yes than no. But, and it's okay. Look, if they start with something, everything's okay. You're going to try things in life. It's just making sure you know how to manage it and making sure that you as a parent is there monitoring what's going on and knowing their friends. My mom always taught me that. Sixth child mother, 23 grandkids. She lives with me now, and I'm very lucky to have her. I have her, a babysitter, my husband. I have a great team at home, or else I couldn't do it. Talk about a team.
So you build a team with the family, you build a team with the business, but when it comes to your health journey, you're not building a team. Oh, gotcha. Okay. I know. Heard you. All right.
You better get ready because we're doing this. So. But yeah, with my home life, it's really my mom's old school influence that's great with them. No devices and all that. And then I have a lady who's Spanish who has a really big influence on their life, who's I love. My girl, Suri, she's like my lifeline. She hates publicity, though. So, but I love you, Suri. And her family and my family are like family. Mm. And just my siblings are their cousins, but my mom always said, just communicate, 23 grandkids. And she's like, look, if you ever feel anything, talk about it, because the sooner you talk, the less it festers. And a lot of people sometimes bury it and then feel away. And then something weird happens. And it's all because you just didn't talk about it.
It's a great lesson for adults. I mean, I struggle with that in business, too. I have grown individuals. Yeah. I mean, you're talking 30s, 40s, 50s, right. 60s, 70s. And really, I'm like, why didn't you say it? What do you want?
Right.
And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's your result. You know, like if you can't articulate it or you can't say exactly what it is that you want, well, how do you think that somebody else is going to understand? Like, I'm not a mind reader here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Callie just the other day, it was wild. She came in the car and like, I took the phone from her or something like that. She said, that's gay.
Oh boy.
I said, what?
Mm-mm.
And she said, I don't even, and she knew like the way that I said it.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, what does that mean? And I'm like, don't ever say it again.
Yep.
You know, and like I had a conversation kind of explaining, you know, the derogatory term of it. But I'm talking to a 3.5-year-old here.
Right.
But like she's still hearing that. And she said, well, I heard it in school. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. All right. Go ahead.
It's going to happen. And it's, again, just correcting them. And there's going to be so many things that happen. I mean, I could tell you 100 stories. You know how many videos of apologies I've sent to parents? I'm so sorry my son said this or my son did that.
Yeah.
And it's making them face it. That makes them better because they don't want to do that again and they learn right from wrong.
These are great lessons, I swear, not only for kids, for all of us.
No, for
real. It's so true. It's so true. Two more things before we wrap up. Anything you're fearful of in your life?
Oh, a lot. I hate flying.
Really?
But I do it all the time.
Oh, okay.
But I hate it. I hate getting on a plane and being like, even if I'm in a, not in the back and more in the front, I hate flying. I don't like it. I don't like being out of control. I would never, ever jump out of a plane. You couldn't, if that was the last thing to do, like, I would never do it.
Really?
Never. I don't like insects at all. They're gross and weird, but I know we need them.
They're gross and weird.
Stefania thinks I'm a hypochondriac, but I'm not.
So would you ever go on, like, Fear Factor with, like, in a jar with all the spiders?
I wouldn't even watch that show because it's so freaky.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm scared of losing my husband in any capacity, whether it's divorce or like death, because he's like,
ooh, those are two strong words.
I know. He's like my life, you know, I don't know. It's hard. And you know, it's interesting going through a marriage when you have nothing and then you have something. And it's like, is the person still going to feel that way? Mm-hmm. Who's really the earner? And is the other person carrying their weight, right? It's all these things that people don't talk about. And you know, we've really grown together and he truly like has a love and admiration, respect. And so do I. And I think that's what keeps us there, you know, but I am fearful of losing that because it's good and I love it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And honestly, kudos to you guys because, you know, going through all of this and building the empire that you've built and the family that you built and the values that you guys have, you know, I'm sure you guys have just played such an impactful role in each other's lives. It's a beautiful thing, honestly, because a lot of us don't make it.
Yes, you do. Know? And you know what? You are making it. You have a great relationship. You have everything. Look at you. I mean, this is, we're doing the same thing and we're going to be doing a lot together. And
that.
To me, you know what? Just like dieting, it's consistency.
There you go.
That's what it is. It's been 20 years of consistency.
Yep.
I also think with dieting, I just want to say one last thing about it.
Go ahead. Talk to me.
I do think I'm a little hard on myself. I don't think I'm massively obese.
You look great, first of all.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like we're talking and you need to.
Right.
40 pounds off, that's a bit much.
I hear that.
That's a bit
and that's
much.
What I'm saying. I don't want people to look at me and be like, are you kidding? But at the same point, I am overweight. I'm clinically overweight. So that to me, even though some people who may be more weight might say, well, what does she need to lose weight? Some people who are really skinny might say, yeah, you need to. Mm-hmm. Whatever your mentality is, right. It's how I feel and what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's I feel and clinically I am overweight. And I would like to get to a place where I'm comfortable and actually maintaining it. Like that is my life goal. And it shouldn't be. It should be a month goal or 2 month goal. So.
But now once you hit that goal, then it's about the consistency of it. You know, people, again, they look at me and they're like, oh, wow, like you're really in shape. But it's like, all right, like you want to go back to the 17-year journey we've just been on?
Right.
And it's the consistency and the discipline.
And have Crohn's and do what you've done is so admirable. I mean, my niece has Crohn's.
It's crippling.
A struggle.
Really, really crippling.
Emotionally, physically. You know, and that's why sometimes you turn to hanging out all night.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the pain and the pressure. It's a lot.
And then you pay for it, though.
And then you pay for
it. You pay for it. Some of my best work, and it doesn't get publicized because it's obviously, you know, people's personal stories. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot of speaking engagements for Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. So I'm a big contributor there to what they do. So, yeah, if anybody's struggling with Crohn's or colitis, you want to just pick my brain. Please feel free to reach out.
Awesome.
Any personal mantras you live by?
Live life to the fullest. If you feel it, do it. Do it. Don't wait because time will pass. My friend died last weekend, 45 years old, heart attack like that.
Mm. Perspective, right?
Perspective.
It puts it right
in. Just live. you know, my husband's like, I don't, you know, should we really go to Europe? You know, we had a big year. We're building, we're doing this. We had our house burnt down last year. 80% done.
Oh my
we were
God.
Building it, right? Terrible tragedy.
My God.
I know. Terrible tragedy, right? And my friends and family were all devastated.
So you were building the house and it burned down. So
burned
this
down.
Was during construction.
Yes.
All right. So it's not like you had to get out.
Hurt.
Right, okay.
80% done. My kids' lives weren't disrupted because we were in a different house. But my husband, you know, he was beside himself. He was building it himself. It was his employee who like balled up rags and spontaneously combusted, right? It's just like the perfect storm. Horrible. It was a beautiful home. And he's like, look, you know, we took a big hit with insurance this year. We've some years are great. Some years are hard. And it was a roller coaster of a year. We had enough to build our house and the house went down. It was like, God, what are we going to do? And now it's like, all right, we're good. You know, the business and all this stuff. So it's this constant ebb and flow. But I think that like, for me, like you got to take the plunge. Yes, we're going to go to Europe. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. Yes, we're going to live life because I don't want to regret. When I'm 80 in my wheelchair.
You're not going to be in a wheelchair, first of all. Why would you say that?
But when I'm 80 and
thriving,
sitting, having my branded water, I am going to be like, I did this shit.
Yep.
And now my kids are doing it and my grandkids are going to do it. And shout out to Jamie Benora because she gave me that perspective in my head, always saying she's a good friend of mine. She's like, you know, Michelle, do you want to move to LA? Because, you know, I've been talking about that a long time. Mm-hmm. And I will. I'm going to make the move at some point.
Really?
I am.
Okay.
I got to get out there. I'm there a lot. I love it. The lifestyle is amazing. Poughkeepsie, I love you forever. But
yeah, that's a big difference. That's so funny.
I just can't wait. But she said to me, listen, when you are your 80-year-old self, what are you going to wish you did? And I'm like, that's it.
Oof.
So that is in my head almost every day.
Mm. I love that. Let's have some fun real quick.
Let's go.
Personal, who's your favorite celebrity that you've interviewed?
Oh, God. That I've interviewed? Oh, man, that's a tough one. I love Martha Stewart. She's a sweetheart. She's like...
from... what, like Catone? Where is she from?
She's from up here, Catone? Westchester area.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
She, well, Martha's from Westchester.
Yeah, right.
She's just a lovely person. She's young at heart. She's built a massive brand, as we know.
Yep.
She's at every event. You see her at Super Bowl, you'll see her. Everywhere I go, I see Martha. She's just all over the place. And for her age to do this,
right.
I mean, she's a boss. Incredible. I love her. Jason Kelsey, bumped into him. Met a lot of celebrities, really nice guy. I met a lot of celebrities over time. I think Neo's a really good guy. Opened for him, saw him at Super Bowl. Really, really just really good guy. He's always willing to.
Have you ever been starstruck?
Not really.
No?
No. I go right up to him. I'm like, hey.
I got one time. I got a crazy celebrity story. So my favorite basketball player of all time is Ray Allen.
Okay.
Right. So I was in the airport and this is like either off of a bachelor party or just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
One trip in Miami. So like everyone's kind of sleeping and like I like kind of like wake up at the airport and I see Ray Allen walking by and I just sprint after him. But I leave everything on the chair. I leave my ticket to get back into security. And you know that one piece where it's like you got sometimes dudes with guns there and then sometimes there's just an attendant there.
Yeah.
But you can't go back. Right. So like I step over the line. I'm like, Ray. Or I was calling him Jesus. Right. Because Jesus Shuttlesworth is the guy that he played in a movie. So I said, Jesus. And then I go and he's like, yo, man, what's up? So I dap him up and I'm so excited. I go reach to my phone. It's not there. So I said, yo, man, you mind taking your phone out and taking a picture of us and sending it to me? He's like, nah, man, I gotta go. So I really ruined my opportunity with a celebrity. And then I had to call one of my buddies to get me back escorted back to my gate because clearly I just couldn't come back because
that's terrible.
You know. So yeah, I was really starstruck. I was really starstruck at that time.
Get him on.
I don't know if Ray Ray's gonna come down.
We can get him on
to Stanford CT.
We're gonna
come
get
down
him
to
on.
The booth.
We're gonna figure this out.
Let's go.
We got him.
We got
on,
him.
Man. He don't snooze. He belongs
that's
here.
Right. He does. Favorite movie.
Favorite movie of all time. This is so corny, but like it takes me back to my teenage years.
The Notebook.
Fear.
Oh. What's that?
Mark Wahlberg, man.
I'm not a movie. So one thing about me is I'm not a movie guy.
Well, what the heck did you ask me that for? You don't know the movie?
I thought you were going to say The Notebook. I don't know. You're like, you love love and like all this. Or the Titanic. That's my favorite movie.
I love Titanic. No, I'm just joking. Fear, it's a great one. Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon. I love them together.
Okay, I've never seen it.
I can't watch it now because I'm like 40 and that's like a teenage movie.
Have you seen it? Fear?
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a good movie for when you're 18, like 16 or 15. All right. You're going to look at this and be like, this is her favorite.
Three movies. I mean, I've seen A Bronx Tale, Titanic, and 8 Mile. Those are like my...
8 Mile's popping.
My go-to,
I'm down.
I got a good, nice little plus.
You got a nice
little...
Yeah, I'm good with that.
That's all I got.
So you're not a movie guy. Do you like books?
I read 10 pages a day.
That's amazing.
Personal, professional development books.
I love that. I don't do that.
Currently reading the Bible and snoozing heavily on it. It's one book. I mean, so I've been really, you know, establishing my relationship with a higher power over the past
love
couple of years.
That.
I pray every single day.
Love it.
My daughter prays every single day.
We do it
together. But the Bible has been really a challenge for whatever reason. And I just like everybody, you know, I know what to do and how to do it. It's not like you don't know how to lose weight and how to do it. It's just you're not doing it.
I know.
So the Bible for me right now, I'm really struggling with in terms of a book. I don't really sit there and like read for enjoyment though.
Got it. But it's good for your health. It's good for your mental health.
Yeah.
And you're such a great dad doing all of that.
Thank you so much.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. So great.
This is not going to be a triggery question. But what's your favorite food?
Oh God, really? I like candy, but my favorite real food is I love chocolate. Dark chocolate I could live on. But my favorite real food is I don't know, Stefania, what is it? Pizza?
I was going to say like a chicken parm or
chicken
something.
Cutlets.
Like that. So I love cutlets.
Oh,
cutlets
my mom makes the best. Oh, you're coming
I'm
over.
I'm coming over.
This big.
Can we?
They're thin. Oh. You can see through them.
My uncle used to sit there with the mallet.
Yeah. No, she cuts them thin like that. Dude, you're coming. I should have brought them.
Let's do
you
it.
You didn't even tell me you like cutlets.
Oh, hey, you want to come on the podcast? Bring cutlets.
That's what we do online. We bring a whole feast.
Yeah. Mary Bell, you should actually connect with her too.
All right.
She brought us crumb cake. It was incredible.
Next time I'm bringing.
But another powerful woman that you should actually collab with.
Awesome.
She wrote a wonderful book that I'm still on page 80. Sorry, Mary. I've been on page 80 since I met her.
That's all right.
but a really powerful Italian stallion too.
Let's go.
You know,
I love these. Some... We should create the Italian stallion ladies.
Yeah, for real.
All of us. Yeah. We already did. But...
Anything that you want to share that or talk about that we didn't get an opportunity to touch on? So many times when I'm in conversations, I'm always like, damn, I should have said that or I should have touched on that point. It'll happen in the car.
Yeah,
you're going to hear all about it. But if there's anything that you want to
There's two things. One is you can do it all. I am a firm believer. People say you can't. You can. From a diet perspective, like I said earlier, I have a mental capacity of X. But I still believe you can do it all. You can be a great mother. You can be a great mom, if you want to stay home or if you want to work or if you have a dream, you can do it. We live in America. We can have anything we want. Mm. Do it. The only thing limiting you is you. That's it.
On my work phone, read that. What does that say right there?
You are your only limit. Meant to
it's alignment. Alignment right there.
And the last thing I will say is I never thought of myself as inspiring, as crazy as that sounds. I never did. But last week, Stefania did a work exercise with our team. Actually, it was right before we went on the limo ride that she took me out on for my birthday, and we'll end it where we started, right? And she gave me I told everyone to write 3 words about themselves and the people in our office, and so we did. And then she printed out every word for every person, and every single person that works for me and Stefania wrote that I was inspiring. And I was like, that's it.
And that's undeniable.
Undeniable.
Right? Undeniable, which happens to be my word for 2024.
I love that. Undeniable.
Yeah. Undeniable.
I need a word.
Undeniable. Well, you better hurry up. It's already
limitless.
March.
Right? Limitless.
Limitless.
We're aligning in the limitless.
I love that.
All right.
You like how I bust their chops, right?
I like it. I like it. Bring it on. I got this. Oh, I was a bartender for 8 years.
Yeah.
Can everybody find and connect with
you? Sure. You can find me at Michelle Barone online on all platforms. And if you're on TikTok, Michelle Barone. YouTube, check it out. Always bring in the shorts. Thank you so much.
And your IG is huge.
Yeah.
Massive.
It's going well.
Probably half the world's already following, but if they're not... Definitely do it. Very thankful for
me
today.
Me too. Thank
very,
you.
Very grateful for you. Happy to connect with you, but I'm also happy to align with you and to continue to build this relationship.
There's going to be so much we can do. And I just feel like this podcast is awesome. So if you're out there and you have an awesome story to tell, make sure you check out Dave. And thank you so much. No snooze, baby.
Awesome. Guys, whether you listen to one episode or 181 with Michelle Barone, we're very grateful for you guys. Continue to share the show. We're growing every single day, and it's because of you. You can shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. And until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
You're incredible.
You too.
You really are.
No, you are
too.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another Epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at No Snooze Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, No Snooze. Shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. Come on.